What's next? Last week we had the resurrection, but what's next? A lot of things take place in our lives, and it's exciting. We all have different ways of responding to what happens. How many know that sometimes things don't always go the way you planned? I don't think the disciples thought that what happened to Jesus was according to their plan. And I think they were a little frustrated with the whole thing. Peter was quite a fellow. In John chapter 18, verse 10, he cut off a fellow's ear. How many of you would have done that if you were with Jesus that day? Probably a few of you that would have, right? We were talking about personalities yesterday in the men's meeting. I don't know how many personalities we have in here just like that, but there's probably maybe a couple here that would have. But Jesus had the grace to forgive him and restore his ear. Then in chapter 18, verse 17 and 25 through 27, talks about Peter denying Jesus. You know, I thought he was Jesus' friend. Jesus thought he was his friend. And I wonder if I walked around the streets of Canton and Troy and Towanda and Mansfield, raising people from the dead and healing people, and then they came to crucify me. How many of you would admit that you were my friend? A couple. Not even half of you. So you wonder what Jesus must have thought. You know, here is buddy Peter. Well, he had told him that he would do it, but he did it. He denied him three times. And 27 it says, again, after he had done it in verse 15, Peter denied it, and at that moment a rooster began to crow. And as I think about that story, I think about how bad Peter must have felt. Here was Jesus, the Savior of the world. Peter denied him three times. If I just do something to my wife, I feel bad. Can you imagine? Just take a minute and just think about what Peter went through in those days. His thoughts. What was going through his mind? Why did I do that? You ever think of that? You ever look back and say, why did I do that? What made me say that? What made me do it? Well, back in the 70s, the old saying was, the devil made me do it. Well, it's not always the devil that makes us do stuff. Just turn with me to John 20 for a minute. Just want to show you how much Jesus gives us second chances. How many know if it wasn't for second chances, we wouldn't be here? If I didn't have a couple second chances or quite a few second chances, I wouldn't be here. And I was thinking about that, about Thomas, verse 25. But he said to them, unless I see, this is Thomas talking, the nails marked in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We see what the disciples saw. And Thomas, at that point, hadn't seen it either. And he said, I'm not believing until I see it. How many of you said that? I won't believe it until I see it. And I thought to myself, you know, even Jesus had mercy on Thomas. A man full of unbelief. But yet, Jesus had compassion and loved him. And then we went on into chapter 21, verse 1. And afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. You know, what do you do when everything's going wrong? Or you thought that things weren't going according to schedule or plan? Well, the boys, they went fishing. What would my first reaction be if I wasn't able to preach or wasn't able to do what God called me to do? What would my first reaction be? I'd probably go back to the farm. I don't have it anymore, but you know, if I'd still have it, I would have gone back to the farm. We go back to the place that's comfortable, to the thing that comes natural to us. And again, I was picturing in my mind as I was thinking about this yesterday and There was how many of those guys were standing in a circle, and they must have been standing there like this talking. What do you think of this whole thing? The other one would say, oh, I don't know what to think. What do you think? You know, they must have gone around and around about this whole thing, what happened to Jesus and why it happened and everything. And finally, I think Peter got tired of talking, and he said, I'm going fishing. Some of you guys would go hunting. But you wonder, you know, what they must have been thinking, and then they just decided they're going fishing. Well, the amazing part about that fishing trip is one of the trips I had with Dale one time. We didn't catch anything, did we, Dale? We fished all day, got sunburned in the hot sun out there on that lake, and we caught nothing. That was the last time I think I went fishing. But you see what happens sometimes when we do something that God hadn't called us to do. God didn't tell them to go back out there in that boat. And then you can look at it from this point of view, like my wife, we were talking about, my wife said, you know, she said, I think about this for myself. You know, when I don't know what to do, I just do what comes natural to me. And if it isn't right, God will help me get it right. Jesus come along here, these guys were fishing, they caught nothing. And he said, hey boys, you catch anything? He knew whether they had caught anything or not. You think he was rubbing it in a little or what? He wouldn't do that, would he? He says, why don't you try casting your net on the other side? You know, it was just a simple thing. They didn't change what they were doing. They changed where they were doing it. And so it is with us sometimes when things, we don't know what to do. You know, Jesus doesn't condemn us. Remember, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't condemn us. But I believe if we'll listen to his voice, he'll tell us where to fish. He'll tell us where to fish. And I'm sure there's been times when we've all fished at the wrong place. And I remember the time when we were down at the beach. Nobody was catching anything. And my brother-in-law took us out. It was Glenn and I and him. And we went out through the waterways anyway. And we come across this one spot and we got a bite. Here we got a sea bass or whatever it was, about that big. And so we turn around and we went back over that spot again. We caught some more. And we kept turning around and going over that spot. And it was like God said, here's the spot. And we went in that afternoon and showed our fish. And everybody said, where did you get that? Nobody else is catching any. But all I can say is God showed us where the spot was. Are we listening to Jesus? Are we listening to what he's telling us to do and where to fish? Then in the same chapter 21, verse 15, it says, Jesus questioned Simon Peter. He says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And in the commentaries, that last time it says that Jesus was actually asking Peter, are you my friend? Are you my friend? And I think Jesus is asking all of us this morning, are you his friend? You know, a lot of us, if I said, do you love Jesus? Most of you would raise your hand, I hope. But when you asked if you're my friend, there's a little bit more involved in that. A friend in need is a friend indeed, right? That's what they used to say. A friend is there for you when you need somebody. Peter had denied Jesus three times. And he wasn't so much interested in whether Peter loved him. He was interested in the fact that was Peter his friend? Peter, will you serve me? Will you do whatever I'm asking you to do? And that's why he was saying, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take care of my people. You see, are you really my friend, Betty? I could say to all of you, do you love me? And you'd say, you want to be politically correct? And you'd say, oh yeah. Yeah, I love you. But if I asked you to serve me, I wonder how many of you would bow out at that point. Are you really my friend? I can honestly say I know there's some here that are my friend. I think most of you are, but probably there would be a few here that, according to what I'd asked you, you'd walk away and say, he's nuts. He's out of his mind. I'm not going to do that. My wife even tells me that sometimes. Not that I'm out of my mind, but she says, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to make you an invalid, she says. If I would ask her, I'm sure she would say she's my friend. And she loves me. But when you ask somebody, are you my friend? Are you willing to do anything for me? Are you willing to serve me? That takes it up another level. Are we willing to take it to the next level with Jesus? Are we willing to do whatever he asks? Are we willing to forget about the past, the disappointments that we've had, the hurts that we've had? And are we willing to move on to the next level? I'm sure there's people here this morning who I've hurt over the years. Most of you have forgiven me. Some have left. Let's be honest. But this morning, are we willing to forget those things, those hurts, those misunderstandings, and take it to another level? Where we're willing to serve God together, where we're willing to do what he asks us to do, to pay the price, to pay the cost. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? In Colossians 4, we talk about another incident with John Mark. It talks about my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. If he comes to you, welcome him. See, Paul and John Mark has a disagreement because for some reason, the Bible really doesn't tell us, when they were going on a missionary trip, John Mark left and went home. And the next time they were getting ready to go on a trip, Paul says, I won't take him along because he deserted me the last time I took him. So I won't take him. So Barnabas took him. Apparently, Barnabas had good results, and later on, as it says here, Paul invited him, said, he must have sent, according to that scripture, he must have sent special instructions about him. Maybe explain a little bit what happened, I don't know. But he told him to accept him. So here's another place where I see the mercy of God. You know, here was a young man. For some reason, he was having a struggle, and he decided he was going home. Instead of going fishing, he went home. But yet Barnabas took him under his wing and took him with him. And everything turned out good for John Mark after that. And then we go to chapter 28 in Matthew, the call of God. It's known as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, verse 16, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Just as Peter was called, just as John Mark was called, just as the disciples were all called, and they were commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the call for every one of us that are here this morning. Jesus died on the cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And unless we accept that message and take that message to those around us, he died for nothing. He died for nothing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to face Jesus someday and say, what did you do? I want him to be able to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you this morning? Is that your desire? You see, the reason I share these stories this morning, because a lot of us, we know what God wants us to do, but a lot of us won't do them because we think, well, I messed up. I did this, so God can't use me. I did that. I lied. I've stolen. Maybe you're in jail. And we use excuses for not reaching out to our friends and our neighbors because, you know, I'm not perfect. And they know I'm not perfect. You know I'm not perfect. See if I can get a good vote this time. How many of you have seen me put my foot in my mouth? Some of you don't even want to admit that. But the point I'm trying to make is God has called each and every one of us. And that's why my title is, what's next? Jesus died. What's next? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? It's between you and God. You see, you might be out there fishing, but you might be fishing at the wrong place. And if we'll listen to God, listen to Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll help us get it right.